Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram.
Today we're going to be looking at the halachas of marriage. This is Siman Kuf Memhei 145 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Just a reminder that this is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is the summaries of most of the aspects of halacha, and this is not about the philosophy, the theology, or best practices of marriage. This is about the halachas that surround marriage. So we're going to do a quick synopsis, and obviously there's so much more that can be discussed. We're going to discuss practical aspects of halacha which apply to marriage and getting married. We're going to look at five basic concepts today, and that is the mitzvah of having children, choosing a spouse, obligations of marriage, waiting between marriages, and complications in remarrying. Our first concept is the mitzvah of having children. The Torah tells us, Prur Revutz, the first mitzvah, which is really given to humankind as a whole, barring, obviously, the mitzvah of eating the fruit of the tree and not eating the fruits of the specific tree in the garden. But this is a mitzvah which continues for all of humankind, which is Prur Revutz. When is the mitzvah of propagation, of having children, considered fulfilled? So a person should have a son and a daughter, and it should be that the children are capable of having their own children, they're not impotent or sterile, and that would be the mitzvah of Prur Revu. Sometimes you think to yourself, why does it have to be so granular? This sounds a little so yucky to define in such a way, but the Torah has specific requirements of human beings, and those requirements need to be quantified if they're real. If they're not quantified, if there's no border or achievement that can be defined, then it's not really a responsibility because it just is sort of a fluffy idea. It has to have a boundary. It has to have a limit, an upper limit and a lower limit for it to make sense, which is why Halacha deals with it like this as well. This also helps motivate people to get to the place they need to get to as well. What happens if the son and daughter die, God forbid, but they leave children? So the mitzvah is fulfilled. It is a grandson and a granddaughter. The grandson is from the son and the granddaughter is from the daughter. This would be a continuation of their life. What happens if only one of the children leaves descendants? Then the mitzvah is not fulfilled, even if that specific child left many descendants as well. What's the most fascinating question of what I'm learning today is, are women actually obligated in the mitzvah of Prur Revu, of having children? The answer is no. It's fascinating that the responsibility is upon the man. What's fascinating about that is that the woman bears most of the weight of that, literally, just carrying the child, never mind beyond when the child's born, which is fascinating because there's this incredible partnership where the responsibility of having children is really upon the man, but the greatest facilitator of that is the woman, which requires an incredible amount of humility and partnership from both sides to be able to work together to fulfill this incredible mitzvah, the mitzvah of leaving behind a world which is better, leaving behind a world in which one has created and been a partner with Hashem, whereas human beings to create, bring children into this world. Is there a mitzvah for a woman to get married? There is. Is it permitted for a man to remain unmarried after having fulfilled the mitzvah of Prur Revu? So let's say a man has two children, gets divorced or is widowed. Is there a responsibility for him to remarry? The answer is yes. Man and a woman should be married if at all possible. Obviously, it's not always within one's control, but one should at least strive to be able to try to do that. Whom should a man marry if that person, the man, is sterile, is not able to have children? So he should try to marry a woman who's also not capable of having children, because then it's not going to be taking away the opportunity from others. Today, of course, the landscape has changed significantly because of the blessing of modern medical fertility treatments, and so these things are a different question. What if a man fears though that he already has children and he is concerned about getting remarried because if he has new children or if he blends the family, there might be fighting between the children from the different sides. So in that case, he may decide to marry a woman who doesn't have children, or can't bear children to avoid this conflict, but he cannot remain unmarried because of this concern. He has to carry on try dating. How long should a couple remain married if they cannot have children? So the limit generally is 10 years before trying another alternative. But again, this obviously differs today because of the landscape of medical technology and when it comes to fertility, thank God. When does the obligation to get married begin? So this is based on the Gemara, based on the Mishnah, which is that for man, it's the 18th year of their life. And what age should a man definitely be married? He should not go past 20, says the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. But he's allowed to delay for spiritual reasons. So a person, let's say a man is learning, there he may delay. The Chofetz Chaim says not beyond the age of 25. Again, there are other concerns. The more complexity of life that we lead today is that's getting a parnasa, as the Rambam paskins, before being able to get married is a significant responsibility. And it's harder today to get a job than it used to be in the old days. Today, degrees are often needed. Internships, and there's a lot of complications. So at the same time, there is this responsibility that it hovers above a person. At the same time, there's the responsibility to be able to do it in an adequate fashion. And of course, even when people are going on dates, there's no guarantee that that means marriage the next month. It means to say that they're at least trying to do what they're hishtadlis to be able to move in this right direction as well. And Hashem should bless all the efforts that we put into this. We move into the next idea, is that choosing a spouse. And so a few basic halachas, the Ketzer references, based on the Gemara's and the Rishonim. He says, what qualities should a person seek in a spouse? So the person that they should be looking for is a person from who is worthy and from a respectable family. What are the defining Jewish traits that a person should seek in a spouse? They are modesty, compassion, and benevolence. Right? By Shonim Rachmonim and Gomlech Hasadim, those are the ideas that a person should be seeking for in another person. Is it permissible for a person to marry another person for financial reasons? This family is endowed, they come with a lot of money. So if the person is suitable and the money that's going to come into this marriage is given with a full heart, willingly, then that's fine. But if, let's say, the person is going to be delaying their marriage to find a wealthy person, they only want to marry a wealthy person, or they break off an engagement over a financial disappointment, such a person is called a person who marries for money and will have unworthy children and unhappy or unsuccessful marriage. So it's really not an advisable thing that's the only criteria that a person should be seeking. Are there limitations on who an unlearned man can marry? The answer is yes. A person who's unlearned should not marry a Bas Kohen from a family where she comes with a deep spiritual background. And that's because such a marriage will not be successful. He simply isn't up to the task of the type of house that they need to set up together. May one marry someone who shares shares a name with the intended spouse? So in this case, the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes that a man should not marry a woman whose name is the same as his mother, or a woman marrying a man who has the same name as her father. And the Ketzer says that a person should try to do this, a scrupulous person should try to do this. It is noted that the Leit Acharon discuss this topic and point out that this may have been only a tzava'a, it's not found in the Gemara, and in fact it seems to be the opposite is found in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said this, and it may be that he was only referring to his children, his family, to when he made this tzava, this will and testament, this spiritual will. So not everybody's makbid on this, and even if there's a slight difference, one is not in transgression of this. So let's say the one's mother has a second name, and the person one's dating only has one name, or there's a different English name. These are sufficient differences to avoid this concern. Is it a mitzvah to marry one's niece? So in this case, interestingly enough, our answer is yes, because this is looking after one's family. However, may one marry any other relatives, or relative of, even through chalitza or a former wife? The answer is not without consulting a halachic authority. It's a very complicated topic. What are the restrictions upon a kohen? A kohen may not marry a divorcee. He may not marry a chalala, a woman who came from a kohen family that is no longer a kohen, because of marrying a divorcee, or a woman who received chalitza, or even a woman who has had multiple relationships, even if, God forbid, through rape as well. The third concept we're looking at is obligations of marriage. So the halacha is that a man must honor his wife Yosef Migufa even more than himself. And why is this? The Ketzer points out, based on the Gemara, that the blessing in the house comes through a wife, through the woman. May a man and a wife live together without a ksuba? The answer is no, not even temporarily. So if a ksuba is misplaced or lost, immediately before nightfall, they must go to the rabbi or a beis din to set up a ksuba de irkasa, which is a lost ksuba, which is a replacement of that other ksuba. They don't have to have it in their hands at all times, but they need to know exactly where it is at all times. What are the father's responsibility in marrying off their children? So a father has a responsibility to try to remarry off their sons and daughters at an earlier age, because living alone leads to improper thoughts, and improper thoughts lead to improper actions. There should be a certain supervision in the house to ensure that that this is going to be achieved as well. Similarly, if a spouse sees that their partner is behaving improperly with members of the opposite gender, They should be admonished. The Ketzer puts it in the framework of the man to the wife, but it goes both ways. That they should be admonished privately and gently with purity, but that a person should try to ensure that one is responsible also for the actions of one's spouse as well. We look at our fourth concept, and that is waiting between marriages. How long must a woman wait before remarrying after divorce or widowhood? So there needs to be a 90-day window, that's excluding the day of death or divorce and the day of the new marriage. So on either side, does this waiting period even apply to women who are incapable of bearing children or aunties? Yes. What does it apply if her previous husband was overseas or imprisoned before his disappearance or his death? The answer is yes. What happens if she miscarried during this window, so therefore there's no concern that there's a concern of pregnancy from the previous marriage? The answer is she still needs 90 days. So this is regulated even when the reasoning doesn't apply itself. May she become engaged during this period? So she is allowed to only if the intended husband makes a vow that he'll not enter her home, he'll not come to live with her, and before the end of the 90-day period. It's very easy for to one to be lax when one is spending time with somebody one wants to spend the rest of their life with. Does a man remarrying his own divorced wife need the 90-day period? The answer is no. When may a pregnant or nursing woman remarry? So she needs to wait until the child is 24 months old, even if she hasn't begun nursing at the time that they're getting married. What if there are pressing circumstances? The Kisser says a halachic authority should be consulted. What's the logic behind this? So let's say she gets remarried and she's just just had the baby. The baby's very young from the previous marriage. So in this case, if she gets pregnant to the second husband, it could affect her milk supply, which means to say the child may be malnourished. Now, in a regular marriage, this is not a concern, because even if she loses her milk supply to a certain degree, then the father will look after the toddler, the younger child. However, when it's a second marriage, the second husband is less concerned about the health of the child from the first marriage, and therefore there's a concern. We need to make sure that this child is viable, has enough ability to be able to manage by themselves before the second marriage is considered. But look at our fifth and last concept today, and that is complications in remarrying. May a woman whose two husbands died marry again? So this is complicated because there's a concern that maybe there might be a negative reason why the third husband might be in danger, and therefore halachic authority should be consulted. May a woman remarry after hearing of her husband's death? So she needs to consult with the halachic authority, even if the people reporting it are trustworthy people. Nonetheless, she should ask her authority, is that enough grounds to consider a real testimony that the husband died? May a woman marry a man with whom she was suspected of committing adultery? And the answer is, unfortunately, no. Even if the husband died or divorced her, because of such rumors or even for other concerns, she may not marry the person who is a suspected adulterer. May a man marry a non-Jewess with whom he is suspected of having a relationship with before she converted? The answer is no. Even after her conversion, she is forbidden to him, as it confirms the suspicions of their previous relationship. May a non-Jew who had relationships with a Jewish woman marry her after his conversion? Again, the answer is no. It confirms the suspicions of their previous relationship, which was not correct. May a man marry a woman who is divorced so she could marry another man? So this could be, as is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, that the second man is paying the first husband, says, if you divorce this woman, I will marry her. In such a case, she's not allowed to marry that person. She's forbidden to marry that second person. May a man live in the same alley, or that's called a mavoi, which is the sort of living area, as a woman who is forbidden to marry? The answer is the sage has prohibited this because it will lead to sin. What should a person do if they suspect their spouse of adultery? They should consult the halakhic authority before continuing to live with them, because a person who commits adultery is not allowed to live with their current spouse. Should a respectable man marry a woman from a divorced or immodest a woman divorced for immodest behavior? So a person should be careful not to do such a thing. Should a man divorce a quarrelsome or immodest wife? The Kisser suggests yes. Obviously, there's many, many more complicated factors, but this is one ground that could stand for divorce. May two siblings have a wedding on the same day? In this case, the answer is no, because two joyous events, and ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, so therefore, besides for the cost factor, they should not be married on the same day. What about the same week? So the Kisser advises against even the same week, because we know that Yaakov Avinu says, when marrying Rachel Nea, ma'alei shavua azos, wait for the end of the Sheva Brachos before he got married to Rachel, and we practice that as well in Halacha. This is a very brief summary of some of the major issues that relate to marriage. With this, we
conclude. Have a wonderful meeting.